know what your email is. All right. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I have a red letter edition, and so that's in red because Christ is making the invitation here. We're all familiar with deadlines and expiration dates, aren't we? All of us are. We check them all the time when we shop. Shirley and I travel the United States, as you know, all over, and conducting revivals and Bible conferences, mission conferences, prophecy conferences, and family conferences. We were in Kingman, Arizona several years ago in 2016, and I had a coupon for Staples Office. Well, it was a dandy, too. I believe it was $22. Can't remember exactly, but I think it was a $22 coupon. And so, but when I bought my purchases and I got them up there, and I was so excited, I've got a coupon, glory. And I got them up there, and the clerk said to me, sir, your coupon has expired. That I'm still upset about that. I mean, that's a burr in my saddle. I have to book motels online for our travels. In fact, our trip in the fall was 36 motels that we were in. And a lot of them, we were in 180. We were out of town 180 nights last year. But usually I shop for the best price. You would too. And so I also check the Bedbug. There's a Bedbug website. And I also check the crime in the area. And I don't want to take my bride into a dangerous area. But on one occasion, I had a great price on a good room. But I thought, maybe I can beat that. And so I took time and I looked around other websites and everything. And then I couldn't find anything better, so I came back to that website. And when I got back, do you know that rate was gone? I don't know how they changed those rates or when they do it, but that rate was gone. I had waited too late, and I had to pay a much higher price. I missed the opportunity. I missed the deadline. The Bible pictures Jesus Christ standing at the door and knocking in Revelation 3:20. I believe that he's standing at several doors this morning, knocking, trying to get in, willing to come in if we would let him in. He's made an offer for anyone to hear his voice and open the door, and he promised he would come in and enter if we would open the door. It'd be a privilege to welcome the Lord Jesus, would it not? That would be a privilege. But what a sad day it'll be. After some have refused to open the door to him, when the knocking stops, it'll be too late. His offer has reached its expiration date. Some will have squandered their opportunity to let him in. So this morning, I want you to consider three doors when the knocking will one day stop. Let's bow for prayer and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the will of God. Thank you, Lord, for the desire to obey. I thank you, Lord, that there are folks in this place that are just tender towards you, to want to obey you, and I pray you'll speak to hearts in this place. I pray if there's one that is not saved or not sure if they're saved, I pray they'll settle that today, not leave this building before they have that settled. I pray, O Lord, that you'll speak to each heart now as we look at the Word of God and the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our text, we realize that there may come a day when the knocking stops at the door of a church. At the door of a church. The primary application of this principle in our text is, after all, the local church. In the churches of Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 3. All over America, you see old churches, giant cemeteries, big buildings, most of them paid off, and only a handful of folks left in that church. But Christ has long since quit knocking on the door of that church. Why? Well, it's because many churches function as social clubs today, where Christ's knock is no longer heard. When does Christ quit knocking on the church's door, preacher? Well, it's when, first of all, when the preacher quits preaching the Word of God. When he quits preaching the Word of God, you can't hear the knock anymore. Christ quits knocking when the preacher and the church start watering down the message, the Lord's message. He quits knocking when they seek pastors who will compromise and they won't preach on tough topics. We need the full counsel of God. That means we've got to let our pastor preach on things sometimes that are difficult to hear, but we need to hear them if they're from the Word of God. We once visited a family, and the wife told us that they had attended a church in our area, not far from our church, where the preacher gave a gospel invitation. And don't you know, she and her husband both went forward and got saved. But the leaders of the church didn't like it. The leaders of the church wanted it, toned down. And so they ousted that pastor. They didn't want the truth of God's word. They didn't want an invitation. That was embarrassing to them. And so Christ quit knocking on the door of that church. It's gone down. Some would rather have their ears tantalized than their toes stepped on. Preachers are commissioned to preach the Bible. Some, however, some churches, they want a storyteller, or they want a comedian in the pulpit, or they want a touchy-feely, lovey-dovey kind of message from the pastor. I think we ought to preach on love, but I don't think that has to be every service. They want an entertainer. They want non-offensive message. A lady came to our church. She said, "Preacher, can't you just preach something sweet all the time?" She didn't understand. And she didn't come back. Some want a psychology lecture with intellectual jargon that impresses them instead of sound doctrine. The Bible is clear we're supposed to preach sound doctrine. And the knocking stops in the church because the preacher won't, sometimes can't, preach the Word of God. Well, question, when does Christ quit knocking on the door of a church? It's when the church doesn't want to separate from the world. They want to be like the world. They find any preaching on standards distasteful. All talk of worldliness and carnality falls on deaf ears. Messages on denying the flesh go over the heads of the people. They just shovel it backward. They don't want to hear it, even though it's taught in the Bible that we ought to deny the flesh. They want their music, and that's what they call it, their music, their clothing, their friends, their language, their places that they go to and so forth, without regard to what God says. And we need to watch out for that. If that describes you, you're on dangerous ground, sister, sir. God defines the Christian life in the Bible, but maybe you're developing a theory of living the Christian life without caring what God says about it. Then you're on shaky ground, sinking ground, I might add. And if so, Christ knocking at your church's door is growing fainter and fainter. When does Christ quit knocking at the church's door? It's when we lose our vision and burden for the lost. that he quits. Listen, when our concern for social needs becomes greater than for spiritual needs, we're losing our burden for those without Christ. We're losing the burden for what God said in his word about the lost. When prayer meeting requests are more about physical needs than for salvations, our vision is impaired. When we don't have time to go out and give the gospel, the knocking at our church's door is getting fainter. When we can talk or tweet or post or surf for hours but only pray for 5 minutes, it's becoming fainter. When does Christ quit knocking at the church's door, preacher? Well, it's when we organize everything to the point that we don't think that we need God. This is what had happened there in Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 17. The church in Revelation 3 came to this point. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. That's the key phrase. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. They think that they have need of nothing. We don't need the altar. We are okay the way we are. We don't need to change anything. We don't need God. We'll do it ourselves. Look out. Christ's knocking is getting fainter. Oh, it's a terrible day when the knocking stops at a door, the door of the church. Turn over to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon. Secondly, it's a dark day when Christ stops knocking on the door of a Christian. The door of a Christian. In our text in Revelation 3:20, it said, if any man hear, if any man. And so it is an application to individuals in the church. And he wants to knock, and it's for every one of us individually. Song of Solomon 5 and verse 2. Here's what it says. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, there's that word again, knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. The bridegroom knocks at the bride's door. He wants to see her. He wants to spend time with her here. But she hesitates. She waits, wants to think about it a little longer, makes excuses. But look down in verse 6. She finally decides in verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Oh, what a sad day when the lover of our soul quits knocking on our heart's door as Christians. Well, you say, well, preacher, what does he knock on our heart's door for? He's knocking on our heart for lordship. He wants to be Lord of our lives. Lord, Master. He's knocking for lordship. He wants to be first. He doesn't want to be, second, third, fourth in your life. He doesn't want to be second to your friends, second to your family, second to your job, second to your house, second to your accounts, second to your ambitions, your hobbies, your favorite sports teams. He wants you to acknowledge his lordship by obedience and by discipline. Now, Jesus Christ is weary with our sins as people who claim his name. After all, we are and say we are Christians. We have Christ in our label. Christians. He's disgusted with his redeemed giving in to cussing. Just disgusted, if you can realize how much he hates it. It's a disdain to him that some of his people are gambling. And by the way, gambling's going to be becoming bigger and bigger with the internet and the smartphone and the advertising that you see on TV for all of that stuff. He's disgusted with it. This is not God's plan. He's disgusted with his redeemed drinking alcoholic beverages. That is not his plan, and he identified it in the scripture, and we're not paying attention enough to the detail of the scripture. He's disgusted with his redeemed stealing and then acting like they didn't take anything. He's disgusted with smoking among us and gossiping and pornography and immorality, and the list goes on. We know what we shouldn't do, but sometimes we do it. We need to confess that as sin and get right with God and make him Lord again in our lives. When we're guilty of sin, he is pounding on that Christian's heart's door. He's trying to get our attention. Listen, son, daughter, you don't have to do that. You can be free from that. I want you to be free. You're not being an example of the believers. He's knocking, reminds us to confess it and forsake it. But when we fail to open the door, guess what? His knock becomes more and more faint. Our heart becomes more and more hardened. And he leaves us alone. And we don't want to be left alone. You don't want to be left alone. Psalm 106, verse 15. You've got to see this verse. Psalm 106. The psalmist records what he did with Israel. And he'll do the same thing with us. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Ooh. We don't want that, saints. We don't want that leanness in our soul. Brother, don't cover your sin. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. Confess it. Come clean. Throw open the door. Welcome him in to cleanse you and rededicate your life to him. Let him give you a fresh start today. Christ is standing at your heart's door and knocking for discipline and lordship to return. But the woman in the Song of Solomon pondered that prompting, made excuses, hesitated. She was tuned in to everything else in her life. And by the time she arose to answer the door, well, he was gone. And that day, the knocking stopped. Today, if you feel that tugging at your heart and hear the knock for lordship, however faint it is, at the end of the service, you need to let him be Lord in that area in your life. Turn it over to him. Another door that Christ knocks at in a Christian's life is forgiveness. We're quick to ask for forgiveness. I wonder if we're quick to give it. I wonder if we're quick to ask for it from others. God's nature is long-suffering, merciful, forgiving, no doubt about that. If you refuse to forgive someone or to ask for forgiveness when you have done something wrong toward them, then you are refusing Christ knocking on your heart's door. Because he's a God of forgiveness. He's not only a God who forgives our sins, he wants us to forgive others also. Remember, Christ was still forgiving his murderers as he was mistreated and hanging on the cross. You remember that? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, you say, well, that was Christ. You know, I'm not Christ. Yeah, but Stephen, you're a person. You got flesh and blood running through your veins like Stephen did. Stephen was seeking forgiveness of his murderers, even as they pelted him with stones, and he's breathing his last breath. He's forgiving them for doing it. Well, you haven't had that happen to you. Well, I had some bad things happen to me. You haven't had that happen. No. You can forgive. What is it that you need to forgive? God's been patient with you and me as we have made all of our excuses why we could not forgive that person or could not ask for forgiveness. In the early 80s, I was in the ministry and I'd just taken our second ministry. And I had two men, preachers in fact, that cheated me out of hundreds of dollars. I had worked for them, one in a Bible college and one in a serving in assistant pastor and supervisor of their school. And hundreds of dollars, they broke contract, both of them, back to back, within about a month of each other. I harbored that against them for a while. Then one day, God had spoken to me before about it, and I just shrugged it off, you know. Hey, they did me wrong. I've got a right to be upset at them. And I felt like it was the last time God was going to deal with me about it. I really did. And God dealt with me. I said, okay, God, I'm taking my hands off. I'm forgiving. They haven't asked me to forgive, but I'm letting loose of it. It's all in your hands. You can take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it one more day. I'm not going to harbor it one more day. And I didn't. I'm not sure that I would be in the ministry today if I had kept going in that. What I am sure is that if we don't yield to God when God's prompting us to forgive somebody, that knocking just gets fainter. Is there somebody that you haven't released yet? Is there somebody that you haven't gone to, you've offended? You know you've offended them, and your relationship is broken, and you can't talk civil to them or them to you, and you could correct your side of it. Now, you can't control how they respond, but you can correct your side of it. Is there somebody that you need to do that with? Maybe it's somebody from way back, and you need to correct a wrong there. I encourage you to do it today. And I believe that God's knocking on our heart's door. And you know, when somebody preaches on that, immediately our minds go to that situation. I mean, it does. I can't see your mind, you can't see mine, but we know what God's speaking to us about, if he's speaking. And if he is, you need to respond while you can still hear him knocking. Now, another door that he knocks on our heart for is to use our gifts for him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, please. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul told Pastor Timothy in 4:14, the first half of that verse, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect what God's given you. He's put it in you. You have the capability of it. 1 Corinthians 12 says the Holy Spirit gives to every person gifts and abilities to use for the local church for the glory of God. So everybody here comes to the church and everybody here has something to offer, something that they can give. But I know singers who won't sing. I know musicians that won't play. I know teachers who won't teach. And I know skilled men who won't work on the building when it's time to work on the building, and cooks that won't lend a hand to cook, and cleaners that won't help clean, decorators that won't help decorate, and IT guys that won't help in the sound and the media, and on it goes, bus drivers and so forth. He's given you ability, talent, and gifts to use for his glory. He's knocking on your heart to use them. If you're unwilling to use them for his glory, Christ is about to stop knocking on your door and to start knocking on somebody else's door to do what he wanted you to do and give them the reward that he intended to give to you. Shirley's great uncle Vernon, I met him when he was 75 at a reunion. He told me that he'd been called of God to preach, but he never got around to it. It was sad. As he told me in tears at the family reunion, that he just kept putting it off and putting it off until, and now you should see, I just see him right now, it's pitiful. He said, now it's too late. What was he saying? He's saying the knocking has stopped for him to do what God had put in his heart to do and use his gifts in that way. His opportunity to say yes had passed, but yours has not passed. Mine has not passed, thank God. He's still able to knock on our heart's door this morning for whatever he wants us to use as far as gifts and abilities, talents for his glory. What is he knocking on your heart about? What is it that you could do that you shrink back from? What is it that you could do that you say, I don't want to commit myself? I don't want to be committed to have to do that. Why not? Christ committed himself to die on the cross for our sins. We ought to be willing to do whatever he wants us to do. There's a day when Christ stops knocking at the door of a church. There's a day when Christ stops knocking at the heart's door of a Christian. But there's a heartbreak disaster day when Christ stops knocking at the door of a person without Christ. That's a bad day. We see several examples of it in Scripture. In Exodus, God was knocking on the heart of Pharaoh. And he gave Pharaoh numbers of chances. But after Pharaoh hardened his heart, every time it said, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, good night. You know, I get tired of talking to people and they won't listen. God does too. And then we read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart after that. God no longer dealt with Pharaoh and he perished. We never read of him getting right with God. He's still burning in hell today. Because hell is for eternity. Agrippa, in the New Testament, said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost doesn't convert the soul. Almost doesn't change your destination from hell to heaven. Agrippa heard the knocking at his door very clearly that day. And he arose and went to the door and he listened, but he never opened the door to become a Christian. He refused to take that step. And the knocking stopped. And my friend who's listening without Christ, I fear for your soul. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. If you've already heard the Savior's knocking at your door, and yet you have waited and lingered and pondered and made excuses and failed to answer the door and say yes to Jesus, you're in danger of never hearing that knock again. There's an expiration date on his offer. The day the knocking stops. Here's the message. Very simple. God created man and loved man. He wanted to have fellowship with Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve. And so he gave them a command to obey. They disobeyed. And when Adam disobeyed, it was sin, thus severing their relationship or their fellowship with God. Adam passed that sinful nature on to his children and through the generations, until every person in every generation since that has had a sin nature, including you and me. We have that propensity to sin. the leaning to sin, and indeed we follow through and we do sin. For the Bible says, and the Bible can't lie, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you and me. Now God deals with us, and he instructs us. We've all sinned, every person. I've sinned, you've sinned. We've all sinned. God says, the soul that sinneth, it will surely die. He describes hell as a place of torment, and he calls the lake of fire the second death. I mean, man, I want to avoid that at all costs. Those who sin pay the consequences in hell forever. However, God also tells us that he sent a fire truck to rescue us from hell. The fireman was Jesus. He died on the cross in our place so that we wouldn't have to suffer that second death in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. Then God gave us a command, like he gave Adam and Eve a command. Remember that? He gave us a command and asked us to receive what Christ did on the cross as payment for our sins. That's why Christ is knocking at your heart's door. He wants you to know the truth. This is the truth that will set you free from your sin and the penalty of your sin. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. That's a wonderful truth right there. He can forgive them and cleanse them away. There's not anyone who's sinned too much for him to forgive, or their sins are too heavy for him to forgive. Though each of us deserve hell for our sins, he is offering us a deal. He's offering us eternal life in heaven with him if we will accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Glory. How can we receive his limited time offer? Well, it's not by baptism. Don't claim that you're saved because you got baptized. Now, that's a faulty testimony. It's not by good works. Well, I hope that my good outweighs my bad. That won't do it. It's not by joining a religion or joining the Baptist church. That's not it either. It's not mimicking a little prayer. It's not turning over a new leaf. Rather, we receive his offer by genuinely repenting of our sins and trusting Christ to save us. That's it. When we do that, he washes away all of our sins. It's amazing. It's like I'm a teacher, so in the old days we had blackboards. I guess they have whiteboards today, but we had blackboards, and we would write with chalk on the blackboard. At the end of the day, somebody was assigned to come in and clean off all the blackboards, right? And then they had to wipe them down and everything. And that's what he did with my sin. It's as if all of my sins are written on the blackboard, and then when I receive Christ, he just comes by and wipes them all out. Boy, I like that illustration. He writes your name in heaven. You have a reservation, and he prepares you a place. You become a child of God in his family, and so much more. It just keeps going. Jesus wants you to open the door today. He's knocking on someone's heart's door today. But understand this. Jesus Christ is under no obligation to keep knocking. He's knocking today. But he's under no obligation to keep knocking. The 19th century writer, Daniel Whittle, penned these words, "Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks..." He's talking about what we're talking about today. "As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in?" And then the chorus goes, "Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while ye may." It speaks of that deadline. He's under no obligation to keep knocking. Don't be like the man in Luke chapter 16 with whom Jesus dealt. He refused when Jesus knocked. And when the man died, the Bible says he woke up in hell. The knocking had stopped. Don't be like the scribe in Mark chapter 12, to whom Jesus said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God," but we never read on that the scribe got saved. And so we believe, therefore, that he went to hell and is in hell burning today. Christ is knocking right here, right now. He's knocking on the church's door. He's knocking on individual Christians' doors. He's knocking on the heart's door, maybe, of somebody who's lost without Christ. I close with this illustration. One night, C.H. Aiken preached to a large crowd in Bristol, England, from the text, "You Must Be Born Again," John chapter 3. Horatio Bottomley, a fine, brilliant young man, listened with rapt attention. He was deeply moved by the sermon that he heard. At the close of the message, an invitation was given to the unsaved to publicly receive Christ. Bottomley thought to himself, "Not I. This is not for me. I'll run my own life." He did run his own life. He made a fortune, very rich man. But when he was 63 years old, in 1922, Bottomley, who exposed the crimes of others, was found guilty of a crime and sentenced to prison for 7 years. Bottomley, now in prison at age 63. Another man, called Captain Prayer of the Church Army, visited him in prison and gave him his testimony. He told Bottomley the story of his conversion this way, and I quote, "Years ago I was in Colston Hall in Bristol when C.H. Aiken preached on the text, 'You must be born again.' I sat there and I was convicted of my sin and of my need of the Savior. I accepted Christ, and since that memorable night, Christ has been all and in all to me." Bottomley thought deeply again. Then he said, wait a minute. I was there too. That was the same message I heard. And I felt my great need of the Savior that night too. But then with a downward cast, he said, "But I rejected him." And then he made this statement that's noteworthy: "A life without God is a wasted life." You see, Captain Prayer had heard Christ knock that night. He opened his heart, he let Christ in, and he left that building wonderfully changed, his life forever changed. On the other hand, the very same night, Christ had knocked at Bottomley's door. He heard the very same message, and he heard it clearly, but he did not answer Christ's knocking, and that day the knocking stopped. He hadn't heard that knocking since that night. This morning, I beg of you, listen closely for Christ knocking at your heart's door. If he's knocking at your door today, arise and throw open the door and let him deal with you about whatever he's speaking to you about.